From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, this afternoon, it's early evening. You always say it's the evening and the morning of the first day of the week, according to the scriptures, is just about to begin. We want to usher in the first day of the week with a service in your house, your presence. We know you can use anything, and that's why we've opened ourselves up on a day like this, something that we are not used to. It's not what we've been used to that you normally use for many years. After a while, you change course and you go different ways. And Lord, we want to stay up with you. We want to move with you. And therefore, we open our lives and open ourselves, open our building, open this place Saturday afternoons as well. We ask you to do what you have to do. Those that you need to bring in on a day like this, bring them in for your kingdom's sake and for your name's sake. Lord, let this service be fruitful like never before. Show us that you can do things in different ways. Thank you for everyone who is here. I pray you minister to us. You teach us. Above all, there will be salvations, there will be healings, there will be miracles, and that will not leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, somebody said, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You're very, very, very welcome to what we call our maiden Sunday morning service. we're speaking a language that many people might not understand, but I hope you get it. Sunday is just about to start. The evening and the morning was the first day. Hallelujah. So the first day of the week, which is tomorrow, is starting now. So this is our first service for Sunday, and tomorrow when you sleep and you come back, that's second service. What do you think about that? Hallelujah. You know, as we were praying earlier, I was thinking about Jesus and the miracle at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. You know, there's nothing that if you make it available to God, He will not touch it. Amen. The wine, there was no more wine. You see, and if you look at us, we've been doing what we know to do for 13 years. We are trying to find new ways of doing the same thing. It is called innovation. And that happens when the Holy Spirit influences your innovation, isn't it? When the Holy Ghost is on your life, He tells you and He teaches you and He leads you to do new things in old things in a new way. So what we are doing is not new. It's not church is something that we eat with, something that we bath with, something that we drink. We are church people. In fact, somebody was telling me, hey, so from now, we're going to have service Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I said, it's a good message. You know, but I have some off days for you as well. I have other things for you. You wait and see. I have some different things for you as the Lord influences us. I was telling some people, I'm born again. I'm trying to do some new things. They are laughing at me. Okay. But you're welcome to our Saturday afternoon service, as we call it. I want you to decide, if you are here for the first time, to come. Tomorrow you don't need to go to church. Sleep. You have had your church for the week. Anybody who asks you Sunday morning, why are you going to church? You say, girl, which Bible do you read? I have been to church already. So this Sunday morning here, you call Sunday, it's time for wash, cook, and clean. And rest. And then go on the seawall and catch some breeze. Getting ready for Monday. Hallelujah. And for some of you, you should decide that Saturday afternoon from 4 o'clock, this is your service. And you see, new things are quite different. You see, anytime there's something you feel awkward, if you've not done chicky chicky before, you know chicky chicky, And they do it for the first time, it feels a little, it's like, oh. I think there was a pastor who married, and you know, this is not the a pastor who married, the regular one, right? And the first night when they went on their honeymoon, the first night when the pastor was trying to hold the new wife, the wife was saying, "Hey, pastor, what are you doing?" You know, the mind and the lifestyle has been very straight, praying, fasting, church, witnessing, testimony. So I know the pastor to be preaching and be laying of hands and anointing, but I don't know the pastor as this one, right? New things can be a little strange, because if you choose this as your service and you don't come tomorrow morning, you can easily be thought of as a strange person. But there's nothing wrong with it. I believe that God is leading us to do some new things. So those of you who choose to come tomorrow morning, blessed be the name of the Lord. Those of you who this is your service also, blessed be the name of the Lord as well. We want to give Jesus a big hand clap. Amen. So I want you to decide every Saturday afternoon right here at the Shepherd House Adventist International. I just come right here every Saturday. Right? Come, we'll sing, we'll dance, we'll have a good time. And then by the evening, we go home. Sunday morning, we sleep late. But me, I want more rewards when I go to heaven. So tomorrow morning, you think I'll be sleeping? I will come back here. I'll be here preaching again. You can sleep. It's okay to sleep. You've not done anything wrong. But I will come here. I'll preach in the morning from 8 o'clock. And then at 11 o'clock, I'll cross the river. And I'll go and gather some other blessings too. So that's my Saturday into Sunday. Where, if you want to kill me, you can find me wherever you want. Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you can find me here Saturday afternoon. If you want to shoot me, you come Sunday morning, you find me here. You can just stand out there and shoot. I may not die, but you know, you can shoot. Hallelujah. So tomorrow morning, I think they want to also make you aware. Tomorrow morning, we are watching the football, the finals, the World Cup finals live right here. Hallelujah. Watching it live. Those people, they didn't qualify. That's your favorite prayer. Okay. Who put that up? They didn't qualify for the World Cup. Yeah, this is one of the famous footballers. He used to play football in his time, you know. He used to score goals just like that. Score goals like that. Now he stopped playing. He used to wear the number 23 jersey. You know, it's a very, very, very known footballer. I know him since I was born. I've known him to play football. Yeah. He was a left. He was left. So he left. He used to clear the ball like that. You know, he was his favorite player too. You used to watch him. People used to bet. It's your favorite player too. Yeah. So it's the bestest player. So tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., we want to come. Have a very nice service, and then get ready for the 11 o'clock kickoff live. France versus Croatia. Yeah. World Cup 2018, watch live match. Rep your favorite team's t-shirt. It's not easy to find t-shirts around, but find some sports, something. If you don't get, you know, they have Brazil. I think Brazilian t-shirts, you have a lot. Argentina, Brazil. I'm sure tomorrow morning, if you're a little early, I don't know who opens early, but you know, you can probably find something. If not, come dress anyhow and let's enjoy. But I think the service is going to be dressed down, and then we'll change after that. That's a second service. Yeah, so maybe before the time, you can rush to Regency and see what you can find. Something for $500 or something, you know, just for the afternoon. There's 300. Pastor Gavi says it's 300. You can find one. If you add 2-3 people, maybe you can even get it for $100. Eh? Mohani, that's your place. They sell. Mohani, does your boss sell any of these things? No. Okay. All right. Like we'll open it tomorrow morning. We'll break it and then go inside and get some t-shirts. So live screen, you see the footballers live. You see like you've never seen them before. Free drink, 3D. This one is 5D. It's 5D. Free drink, best seats. Come for your best seats. Hallelujah. We're going to enjoy. Yeah. Even if you don't like football, come. I know some of you like cricket, but they will also be playing cricket inside the football. So when you come, I'll show you, right? Hallelujah. So that's tomorrow morning from 8 o'clock, right here at the Shepherd House International. And I want the fellowship shepherds, the chapel pastors to really mobilize your people. Let's enjoy tomorrow like never before. Amen. We have a salvation rally coming on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Salvation rally. It's exciting. Salvations. So Tuesday, we are mobilizing ourselves, a lot of people. Wednesday, invite people. Thursday, invite people here at the Shepherd House, Adventist and Chapel International. Right here. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Right here. Right here at the Shepherd House International. Don't attend alone. Bring a soul. We are doing this to invite our friends and our families to God. You'll be surprised that when you go to heaven and you are happy and your mother goes to hell, you'll still not be so... Yeah, you feel a way. At least you try. And if your mother says, I'll go to hell, then that's fine. Because you can't decide for people, but you have to give them the opportunity to decide for themselves. What do you think about that? Yeah, Guyana, you know, church in Guyana, people don't pressure people to go to church. People say, why are you forcing people to come to church? But if you see somebody drowning in the river, will you not mind the person? Will you not want to help the person get out? Yes. Hell is coming. Hell is more serious than somebody drowning in a river. If we know what is ahead, we will save people. Jude says we should snatch people like we are snatching them from the fire. And that's the kind of attitude Shepherd House Christians must adopt. This evening, for the meetings that we have, it's a Saturday afternoon, we are not going anywhere. So I preach and I end when I feel like. What do you think? If it's short, it's short. If it's long, it's long. If it's extra, it's extra. Because we are excited in the house of the Lord. Amen. Psalm 90 and verse 9. Psalm 90 verse 9. Psalm 90 and verse 9. So church workers, you know, I want you to commit to this service too. Those church workers, let us not be behind you like, you know, you don't understand what's going on. The choristers and all of that. At least let's get some commitment, some 10 choristers, something. People be a little more, you know, flexible. Yeah, you see, I believe, the Lord is teaching me some new things. So I'm learning new things every day. And I believe that people are, just like we know from, it is a good thing to serve the Lord. Those who serve God, those who give God a little more, if should I even say that a little more, but those who give God extra, God also gives them extra. Is it the difference between you and I, or the difference between the different among ourselves, will be because one person does something extra for God that one person doesn't do. That is what will bring the difference. It's like one person sows more than the other person. If I have a farm, I have a 1 acre farm, and you have a backyard garden, what we reap is never going to be, it's not the same. And if you have a backyard garden and you are annoyed at my 1 acre farm and the things I have reaped from my farm, you're making a joke. You're making a mistake. All you have to do, if you want to compare yourself to me, is also to find a 1 acre farm and you also plant some things. That is the only way you can also compare yourself to me in a certain way. Because we are not the same, because I have 1 acre, you have a backyard. In the same way, for those who give God more, even if it's not here on earth, in heaven you'll be very surprised. I say, even if it's not here on earth, in heaven you'll be very surprised how they look. You know, so some of us who have been coming to church for years, you should spice up your life by adding something a little more. I said, by adding something a little more. Can you not do just a little bit more? Can you not just do a little bit more? Turn to your neighbor and ask your neighbor, can you not do just a little bit more? Yeah. Ask for a little bit more, you can do it. Psalm 90 and verse 9, the Bible says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Our years are like a story. Don't you see it? That there are people who are not anymore. You can look at them and tell a tale about them. We have relatives, we have brothers, we have sisters, we have uncles, we have aunties, we have grandfathers, we have people in our families who we can tell a tale about their lives. They are no more. Bible says that we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, yet is their strength, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. The title of my message is Number Your Days. Number Your Days. Masha, Number Your Days. Number Your Days. That's the title of my message. We go back to verse 9. We want to read it again. The Bible says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Verse 10 says, the days of our years are 80 years and 10. 80, a score is 20. 3 of 20 is 60. 10 adds to it, it's 70 years. Many people don't realize, you see, many people don't remember that our days is 70 years. We don't remember. It's one of the few things that human beings remember is how long they are going to live. Because if you remember how long you are going to live, you see, you will live your life in a certain way. Let's say when you get a visa, and then you go to, we all went to Barbados. Those of us who went to Barbados, we knew we were going to Barbados for 5 days, for 6 days. Some went for 7 days, some went for 8 days. Because of the number of days you went, you did not take your chest of drawers with you. You don't need your wardrobe for 7 days in Barbados. In fact, you couldn't take all your clothes with you. Because for 7 days, no matter how many times you want to change yourself in 7 days, you can't wear all your clothes. Now, it is even very interesting for those who really understood the trip and took with themselves extra things. I mean, some of you, when you went, you even didn't see the sea. You only saw it when you were landing. And you saw it when you were taking off. Sure. So some people, and they are not the right kind of people, they just didn't see it all. They enjoy the thing. And I know that as they were going, they planned the trip. No, there's nothing wrong. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong about that. You don't know how to live life. They enjoy life. I'm saying this to say that, you see, because of the purpose and everything, there's a way you enter into the environment. You plan, and whilst you are there, you make use of the plan that you have. But what we don't do as human beings and as people who live on this earth is that we don't number our days here. I tell you, you see, nobody goes into marriage and ever think of divorce or death of a spouse. In fact, when you come for our marriage counseling, we'll teach you about the death of your spouse. Tamika will teach you that it is possible that Jacob will die before you all die. It's something people don't think about. You think that when you marry, we'll be in love. No, 2 years later, you can easily divorce. That is the reality. You marry, and let's say before you realize, 3 years later, accident. Or your wife goes to the hospital, is going to deliver, and then dies. It happens. These are realities we don't think about because we think that everything is just going to run as smooth as ever.
No, but the Bible wants us to, one of the things the Bible wants us to take care of or to really pay attention to is the number of days. See, the Bible says that the number of our days is 70. It means that from 1, 2, 3, for as you are approaching 70, you should know that you are just about to check out. Because we go to Barbados, we bought a ticket. I bought a ticket from Sunday night. I got there Sunday night, and I left Friday morning, Friday midday. Now, as Wednesday was coming, I realized that it was 2 days more left. When Thursday came, I said to myself, tomorrow I'm going back to Guyana. When Friday came, I woke up in the morning already prepared. I know what time I have to get to the airport. So I told my host, please come and pick me up at 10:30. I'm ready to die. My bags are packed. I finished whatever I came to do here in Barbados. I know I did not come here to stay forever. That is the kind of life and mindset God wants us to have. That as you are going about looking for money to buy a land, looking for money to build a house, looking for money to buy a car, looking to enjoy life, to add some extra shoes, add some extra clothes, you should know that it's 2 years now, it's 4 years, it's 10 years, it's 15. Your life is only 10 years left. It's only 10 years left. Are you still going to use the rest of your life looking for things that for 50 years you have not found? Number your days. Now, the interesting thing about the scripture is that God, you see, the number of days has actually reduced. When God destroyed the world in the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. God and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So you watch it. Our lives and the number of days we have here on earth is just like the value of any asset that depreciates and not appreciates. You see, there is, when you come to economics of valuation, there's what we call appreciation and depreciation. Appreciation is when something increases its value with time. If you have a land is something to own, because a land will always sell higher than the price you bought it any time after that. But there are some things when you buy, with time, the value goes down. We call it depreciation. So if you put all your money in a vehicle, after 2 years of driving the vehicle, you cannot sell it more than, or if you can't sell it for the same price as you bought it for. Even one day, the moment you drive the car, the value of the car depreciates. So in real estate or in this valuation arena, they call something real estate and they call it unreal or non-real estate. Real estate is the things that appreciate in value with time. If you have a house, it only gets more expensive. It only gets more value with time. And therefore, wise people on earth always put their money in things that with time they can get extra money for. If you go, if you use your money to go and buy Burger King sandwich and say that you are coming to bring it so that tomorrow you start selling it in your area. No, you don't understand business. Because by the time the morning comes, if you don't get rats eating part of it, in the morning you see that the whole thing has changed. The lettuce, the tomato, so the meat. I mean, if you put it outside, you say, oh, this is not beggar. This is hamburger king or beggar queen. When people come and they look at it, smelling. So that your $1,000 you invested in Burger King to also come and do a retail Burger King in your house, it won't work. So human beings, our lives are like, we depreciate, we don't appreciate. What I mean is that as your years go by, you get old. Your eyesight begins to change. You need glasses. You can't run anymore. If you run, it's like you getting bacidi. You have to be careful when you're running. Initially you could squat. You could just bend down and wash things in the bathtub. Now you got to sit down and wash the things in the bathtub. Yeah. You used to walk to somewhere to catch bus and go. Now you can't walk. So it's care use. You depreciate with time. So in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, the days of man, if you look at this and then the verse in Psalm 90 and verse 10, you see that from Genesis to Psalms, man's life decreased from 120 to 70. 50 years! Now, if it takes Genesis to Psalms for 50 years to cut off, I'm talking to the younger people who are deceived. If it takes Genesis to Psalms, how many years it is for a man's life to be so perishable that it is reduced by 50 years, then from Psalms to now, not Revelation, not from Psalms to Revelation, from Psalms to now that we live, I don't know how long we are going to spend here on earth. It means that it is very crucial even now to number your days for me to number my days. And make sure that you know that as next Sunday is coming, you are likely not to be around anymore. And therefore, you must prepare for what is ahead. You must prepare for what lies ahead after your days are no more. When we went to Barbados, we didn't give up our houses. We didn't sell our houses when we were going to Barbados. Anybody sold your house? So I'm selling my house for when I come back, I'll buy another house in 2 weeks. Two years. Or let me put my house for rent for 5 days. When I come, I'll get some little money so that who rents a house for 5 days? Who rents an apartment for 3 days? In other words, people are conscious of what happens after they've spent their life somewhere. And that is the message for you this evening. That you need, God wants you and I to number our days. You have to number your days because the number of your days is fixed. It's not something you can go and say, you know what, please for some little top up. Life is not digital top up. I said life is not GT&T. Well, you can top up. When your credit is finishing, you can top up. I said, life is not GT&T. You can't top up your life. You can't borrow credit. It cannot. The boundaries. Let me show you a scripture. Let me show you a scripture. I want to show you a scripture. Job chapter 14 and verse 5. He says, so your days are determined, so you should number them. If you go on a visit to America for 1 month, listen. You will you be there? Yeah. No, you must learn those things so it works. When you go to America for 1 month, when the 1 month is approaching, you know you're coming back. In fact, what you do is that you start preparing for your return trip. You start packing barrel. Thank you very much. God wants you to prepare barrels for eternity. Young man, God wants you to consider your life after death and continue to invest in that life to save some things for then. The Bible says in Job chapter 14 and verse 5. Go to verse 1. Let's read from verse 1. Your days are determined. Man that is born of a woman is of few days. How many days? How many days, my brother? Few days. What's your name? Devon. Your days are few. In fact, if you are confused about the few, the Bible talks about it as 70. And even that, I'm saying that that was in Psalms. In Genesis 6:3, it was 120. Psalm says it's 70. I'm not saying Revelation. Revelation has finished. Now that we probably it's 5 years old on earth. That is why we pick up all kinds of things in this life. Our lives are now useless here on earth. You wake up in the morning, it's only by grace that you can come back home. But you see, we don't count, we don't number our days. We don't number our days. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower. How long does a flower stay on a tree when it comes up? 100 years. So you are like a flower. Huh? Pinky, the little girl next to you, she's like a flower. What's her name? Tiara. You are like a flower. Look at you. Nice hairstyle. Your nice goggles. How old are you, Tiara? You're 14. Look at you. You're blossoming like a flower. School just closed and you got some nice hairstyle on. My God. The Bible says you come forth like a flower, like that. Thank you, Tiara. And he said, and it's cut down. See, sometimes a flower comes up and somebody just passing by just decides to just pick up the flower. Just snap, just take your life away. It's not time for the flower to even get dry and wither. But you are somebody just who is just interested in a flower just comes and takes you away. He fleed also. He said, he fleeth. He fleed also as a shadow and does not continue. You know a shadow? You have a shadow now. Wait, shadow disappeared just now. Bible is describing you and my life here on earth as these things. He goes on to verse 3. He says, and dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one? Job is asking God, if this is how human beings are, what, you are opening your eyes? You even want to consider a human being who just comes and just disappears? He said, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Me in judgment with thee? Verse 4. He said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Verse 5. Seeing his days are determined. It's like 4 years in jail is determined. That's why they run away. That's why Smalley and all these people, they run away. Because they realize that, you know what? We cannot. When we say determined, it means like there's a wall built around you. By the time you get here, you can't move further. Many people are deceived in this world. We think we'll live. We think we'll continue to live. We think every day is for us. We think tomorrow will come. We plan tomorrow. That's why the Bible says that tomorrow is not even for you. Even as Christians, we still think about tomorrow too much. We think about what is going to happen to me next year. Everybody is this. Bible says, number your days. You may even not be alive next year. Number your days. Number your days. You see, if I was in Guyana, to return to my country, I'll number my days. Yeah. I'll number my days. You know what I'll do? I'll be sending money to where I'll go. Every month, I'll wire 100 US to an account back in Ghana. Why? Because I know I'm in Ghana for just 15 years. After 15 years, Masha, when I go back, My wife got to get close, right? I got to take up my children. So I have to plan ahead. But I'm not going back to Ghana. At least I don't know about that. So I have no plans. I know from here, this is a stop to heaven. From here, this is transit. From this transit, I enter into heaven forever, eternity. That's my destination. There's not going to be, I'm not taking a second plane to Ghana. Not that I know about. So when I go to Ghana and people ask, oh, so are you building a house in Ghana? I said, why should I build a house here? My path, the direction is not going back. I'm going forward. But you see, if I knew that I was coming to Ghana to just do missions for 20 years, it's 13 years now. I have 7 years. I'll ask my wife, I say, Charlie, it's 7 years left though. What are we doing? Charlie, we got a plan. You know that land that my father had? Charlie, next year when I go to Ghana, I'm going to fight and move everybody out of the land. Because I have to start fencing it and start to do something so that at least within 7 years, we can go and we can have a place to stay. But that's not my plan. My plan is from here to heaven. That's why I work the way I work. Our days are determined. So just in case you think you can influence, God is like your boss man that you can just smile to and shake a little of your bumsy like that and he can extend your days by 5 years. It's not like that. So you better set up. You better sit up and make sure that your relationship with God is better, because if you don't prepare now for then, I said, if you don't prepare now for then, you'll be found wanting. No matter how old you are, you have to think about eternity. You have to think about what happens when your life here is finished, when it is over for you here on earth, what is going to happen to you on the other side. And we've said here a few times, and it's so practical, that when you are a baby in the womb, you do not know that there's a place called Guyana. Some of the little children around, they don't even know that they are in Guyana. You ask them, which country do you live in? They'll say, Georgetown. You try and see. They don't even know they're in Guyana. But you see, a baby in the womb never or does not know that there's something called Georgetown, Guyana. They don't know there's a party called APNU. They don't know there's a president called President Granger. It is the fact that the baby in the womb does not know about these things does not mean that these things do not exist. There are people on earth who have built houses, who are doing roads, who go to work every morning, and just that. So many things happen on earth. In the same way, living here on earth does not take away the fact that there's a whole lifestyle after here. If you don't know. One of the things we do as human beings is that we count the wrong things. We number the wrong things. How many shoes you have? How many wigs I have? How many dresses I have? How many clothes I have? How many boyfriends you've had in your life? How many girlfriends you have had in your life? How much money you have in your pocket? That's why the word says in verse 12 of Psalm 90, it says, teach me to number my what? Not my clothes, not my shoes, not my money. If there's anything to count, my sister, it is your life here on earth. I tell you. You see, there are so many things that we don't think about, like I was saying. As you are growing up, Tiara. As Tiara, stand up. I know your name. As Tiara is growing up, she's 14. Tiara doesn't know what is going to happen to her at the age of 16. She doesn't even think about it. We live day by day. Yeah. I hope it's okay to preach with you. I like your name. Your name is a nice name. Thank you. Thank you, Tiara. We number the wrong things. You'd be surprised that, like I said, you will marry and you'll be one of those people who lose your husband. Somebody will live with their husband until both of them die. Sister Elsa is here. The most youngest lady in the church. Yeah. Sister Elsa has gone through losing somebody you've lived with, a partner. She has gone through that. She never, I don't think Sister Elsa at the age of Tiara ever thought in her days when she was like how Tiara is, with a fancy hairstyle, her nice sheets, and her nice necklace, and a little something. Man, I'm sure Tiara never thought that. You tell, never think of me, I'll marry and my husband will die and leave me. No. In fact, when the pastor says, you say, God forbid. But Sister Elsa has lost a partner. The man that she lived with so many years, built a life with, had children with, is no more. Never thought about it. You see, Samantha thinks that Billy is going to be with you forever and ever. Long live Billy. Thank you very much. Long live Billy. LLB. Long live Billy. Angostura. Is it not so? You see, God forbid, but you will never think that there's an age coming, you may even lose your leg. That at a point, God forbid, you may be in a wheelchair. That is why some people, they don't live long. Because when those things happen to them, they get so shocked that they say, me? Is this me? You remember Mr. Samson? One of Samson's struggle was his stroke attack. Samson was walking around his big belly, moving around. He was an usher. He comes to church, excited, drive his car. One day, all of a sudden, we heard he got a stroke attack. All of a sudden, Samson had to be treated like a baby. His wife told me when we go and visit him, he used to cry and say, is this me? He can't get up and walk around like he used to walk around. He wakes up in the morning, he takes care of himself, he goes to work, drops his wife. Now when he wakes up in the morning, he can't get out of the bed. It's like pension. That's what they say. You should never go on pension. Yeah. If you go on pension and you don't have anything to substitute your active life, you die early. Because the way you are busy for, like, say, 50, 60 years of your life, you can't all of a sudden just begin to wake up and sit at home. What are you doing at home? Watch who? TV? What? Everybody's gone. And you are home. And you ask yourself, what is wrong with me? Why can I not go like everybody? The reason why you can't go is that you are old now. You are 65. Don't you know that you are about to die? We'll give you time to prepare for your death. So when you are thinking about pension, people think about pension, NIS pension, NIS pension. You must think about dying. That's what you should think about, not NIS. All the money you are piling up at NIS, you will go and the money will still be around. Somebody will collect it. We number the wrong things. We don't expect that certain things will happen to us. That's why things takes us by surprise. For some people, they don't even think that even this church, you leave the church. You remember Evander? Evander? Yeah. That's what the Bible says. Your fathers, where are they? If we tell you that this is what is good, you see, and that is what doesn't make us very careful of our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, whether you are young, whether you're old, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, you need to understand that there is a time, there's a certain boundary. As you are waking up every morning, sleeping and waking up, there's a time that you go to bed, you will not get up. You will not get up. No matter how rich you are, you will not get up. No matter how beautiful you are, you will not get up. No matter how educated you are, you will not get up. Because your days and my days are numbered and it is determined. You cannot cross the line. You cannot cross the line. You will not. And when that day comes, you die. I will take you and take you to the Georgetown Hospital. Police will come and investigate why you died. If you don't take care, they will accuse us that we killed you. And then when you go to Georgetown, then you see Merrimans, you see Lycan, they have salespeople. They are there trying to, they are touting, funeral touters, they are looking for sales. They are promoting packages for you. 100,000 with casket and a pastor and music, 1 hour in our hall, in a nice graveyard, right at La Repente, where it will not flood, for 120,000. It's a package. I am not surprised that many people borrow money to bury their dead. Why? Because you don't think about that day. We go to courts and select a nice bed, but we don't go to where they make coffins and select a nice coffin. If I was somebody, I would select what they should put me inside. Because when you die, they'll put you in anything. You see, when the people from Sandis come and say, oh, this one, you know, don't worry, Merrimans, this one is just hard wood, right? Hard wood. This is ply. this is ply, but it's, you know, it's nice. This is just 80,000. Everything together is 80,000. Your relatives who are alive will say, what the heck? What the heck? She dead already. What the heck? Why should we choose the 250,000 package? What the heck? You gonna pay? You get money for pay? We go for the 80. He said, don't worry. She not gonna know. She not gonna know. She not gonna know. Yeah. That is why we have something we call the will. Will. A will is so that when you are no more, you are prepared for your death. If you have any property, please, it doesn't matter. Sharon, you have a car, you should do your will. No, if you have anything on earth, you have to make a will. You don't make wills because you are going to die. You are making will because you will die. You will die. You must die. You can't escape it. So somebody like Brother Sherwin, who has this very nice white vehicle that we know. God forbid, when he is no more, Ulex can rise up and said, it's me, brother. Then Shonette will say, I used to ride in a car with him. And he used to tell me, you know, he used to promise me that he will buy another car and give me this one. So I know that this car is for me. Yeah. Then his brother Timothy will say, he's me, brother. Before I realize, we're in magistrate court 4. Fighting over a car that runs on water. You see, the reason for the confusion is that there was no preparation. We thought that we were going to be around for a long time. Yeah. We thought that. It's the same thing with wedding. When you're getting married, you spend all your money on the wedding thinking that everything is that day. After the wedding, then what? Yeah. And you see, Guyana is even nice. Guyana is nice. The day I told my father I was going to get married, not even a dollar. Not even the day I told him I was going to marry. The day I started doing national service and I was getting a stipend, my father stopped giving me money. So when you tell your father in Africa, Ghana, in my culture from the Ashanti tribe, you say you're going to marry, oh, they say congratulations. Not a dollar will come from anybody. Listen, not a dollar. No, they say, you big? You's a big man? Behave big. Nobody gives no big man no money. So he's a big man. Do you think? My father didn't give me one kobo, you know, $1. He just looked on. He said, oh, it's everything. Said, yeah, okay, go. So, all right. He just put on his best and came and sat down the day.
Yeah, wedding day. Came and sat down. Nice. Yeah. Hey, say, my son is getting married. Not a donor.
You see, when you get that, you know what type of wedding you should have. Because you got some auntie or some godmother who is playing God in your life, who is paying for the cake and paying for your dress. So your mind is gone thinking that after the wedding, she's also going to buy food for you every day. That's why people don't marry, because they think about what they are going to spend on that day and it puts them off. Because marriage is not just that day. Ask Pastor Gerald. He'll tell you. It is marriage that made him think about a bed. Yeah. Yeah. I made him think about a bed all of a sudden. When I tell him, buy a bed, he won't mind me. I said, buy a bed. He won't business with me. So I said, I know how he'll buy the bed. I know how he'll buy the bed. Yeah. I was even fighting with him. I said, why are you going to buy such an expensive bed? You should carry me. I'll show you Ramrup. Nice bed. Ramrup. Yes. Yeah. Ramrup is somebody's uncle, right? Yeah. We number the wrong things. God is teaching you, ladies and gentlemen, to number your days, because you are going to go away. Hey, you will sleep and you will not open your eyes anymore. You'll be a dead body. They will call you sunrise, sunset. You'll be stinking. After a few years, someone will come and open the casket. Bones. Teeth. See, I think it's your teeth that you really have to take care of, because that one, it will last for a long time. Yeah. You see, I was saying to myself the other day, you see, my daughters, they are gone. It just dawned on me the other day. It's like they've come home. They've not come home. They are visiting. So when they come and hold me and touch me, I look at them and say, you touching me? You going just now. Visitors don't touch you. Don't touch me. They said, you're going home soon. Look at how they're talking. If I add the boy, then that's it. Finish. Finish. Yeah. We add the boy, finish. It's finished. They're going. So when they're coming, I clean their room. So I'm getting visitors. Yeah. Their bag is there. They change clothes from the bag, put back like that. The time comes, they zip the bag, they carry it. They said, Daddy, we'll be late. Let's go. Daddy. You see, and it is something that has even come early for me to realize, because they are going to go anyway. When they come and say, Daddy, I have something to tell you, Daddy. You know, Daddy, the Bible says that there is a time for everything. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to be born and a time to go. Daddy, you know, I'm in love. Hey, what you and my mother used to do, you too, you know it now?
Daddy, I want you to meet somebody. Somebody?
Who is that somebody? I gave birth to you alone. Who? You know, you and somebody. You see, you go through all those things. So you'll be very surprised. Sometimes some people can't handle it.
It's always too early. Why didn't you tell me? You think you're ready for marriage?
It's not ready. They just cannot. They cannot just sit with the idea that you are going. So they come with questions that are very unreal. But no matter what you do, they will go. They'll go. Even animals, they go. Have you seen a bird hatch a bird that lives with a bird forever? Once a bird hatches, they feed them for a week or something. They go. The day they do, shh, 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 shh. They say, bye-bye. It's finished. That is what God wants us to do as human beings. One day we are going, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, brothers and sisters, one day we will all die. Think about what happens when you die. Think about where you will go when you die. If you do that, you live a better life. You see, gone are the days where HIV AIDS patients, knew that they would die. Now we have medication that can, prolong your life. But you see, when you get something like that, then you begin to get mental. That's why some people rather quietly sleep with other people and give it to them. Because they can't accept the fact that they are going to die one day and it's not fair. And no, so I can't go alone. Somebody has to go with me. And human beings, we are like that. We like to always go in groups. We like doing things in groups. It's like when you fail an exam, you want to know, so how much you get? How much you get? What you get? You get 45 too? Okay, I get 45 too. So like you feel comforted in your misery. Let's think about what happens when we are no more. It will help us live our lives better. One day we had a pastor's meeting and the pastor asked a question. He said, which one is better, knowing that you are going to die today or not knowing and you die? Which one is better? We had a debate. Some people said, day one. Some people said, no. I would like to know. Which do you prefer? You would like to know? How many don't want to know when you're going to die? You want to be surprised? You see, when you get to know, it can have something on you, right? But when you get to know too, you live your life properly. That's why the Bible says that, teach us to number our days. Teach us to understand that at 70, I have a few more years. If it's 70, those of you who are 25, you have what? You have 45. You can joke with 40 and then be serious with the 5. It's up to you. Yeah, you can take 40 years and joke. You can take 40 years and just waste your time and drink and club and blow time. Do all kinds of things. You can take 40 years and just lime. And then 5 years begin to put things together. But the 40 years that you are lying, you can die in the 40 years. That is why the Bible says, teach us to be conscious of the number of days we have here on earth so that we will know that, you know what? This thing here, let me put it into eternity. Bible says, lay out for yourselves treasures in heaven where thieves don't break in. So you say, you know what? How do I lay treasures for myself in heaven? By doing good. Okay. If I have 20,000, I'll make sure that I give 5,000 out. I keep 15,000. As I do that, I am booking and I'm making things ready for when I get into eternity. Because I don't want to enter into eternity and then
when they say, which hotel? I said, oh, you have hotels here? I said, you didn't know? You didn't book any hotel? I said, no, I just came. They said, oh, no. Please, you spend the night on the street. It's the same thing. When you get into another country, you are going to travel. When you are going to travel, you just don't get on the plane with all the excitement, with your visa and your passport and your ticket, your bag and your clothes. You just don't just get on the plane and say, I'm going to New York. Okay, you go to New York. So when you get to New York, so what happens? Then you see that this is the line to immigration. Then you go. Baggage. Customs. Exit. Now when you exit, then you realize that, hey, I should have told my cousin I'm coming. Even if you make, you see, even in your preparation, if you make the mistake not to take the right number, or when you are writing your cousin's number and you change the 147 at JFK, you cry for your mother. You realize that your phone doesn't work in America. The number is not correct. You have to find a way to call Guyana and ask your cousin whether he remembered a number for your sister. I have been to an airport before where the person who promised to come pick me up delayed for hours. I counted on the time. I told him, I'm arriving at 7 o'clock. It's okay, no, I'll be by 7, I should be there. I was there 7, waiting. 8, waiting. 9. Hey, has this person forgotten about me? Because if the person really has forgotten about me and I can't reach the person, I'm sleeping at the airport. You cannot be processed further. Even though you've entered into eternity, you've crossed immigration, you've crossed customs, you cannot be processed into home or outside. You are actually outside as well. You have no choice. And that is what is going to happen to some people. When you die, there is no choice but to place you in hell. Because you don't have an address. You don't have a phone number of any angel to call and say, angel, you got one room, you got a room in your apartment. You don't have no contact. You don't have any connection with heaven. If you don't have connection with heaven, when you cross, the only option is to usher you outside in the cold. May that not be your story in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet, somebody. Hallelujah. My God, close your eyes this evening. Every eye closed, every head bowed. I want you to pay attention. How do you feel knowing that your days are numbered? How do you feel knowing that the journey is ahead, and if your days are numbered, then you need to start thinking about eternity? I want to make you a proposal. After life, after the life here on earth, there's heaven and there's hell. There are only two places you can go. Eternity is not like earth, where you have America, you have Africa, you have Asia, you have Europe, you have these places. You can choose to go to so many places. When you're born in any place. In eternity, there are only two places: heaven and hell. Those who believe in Jesus and live their lives accordingly, when they die, they go to heaven. Because Jesus will organize reception at the airport to pick you up. He says, there are many mansions in my Father's house. I'm going to prepare a place for you. So once you are on Jesus' side, when you die, that's the side you go. If you are not on Jesus' side, then automatically, there's no choice but to place you in hell when you die. Tonight, you are here. You know deep down in your heart that you are not saved. You are not born again. If you were to die right now, you don't know whether it's heaven or hell. I want to help you. God wants to help you. God has already helped you by causing his son Jesus to come and die for the sins of the world. What you need to do is to make use of what God has done for you.
You are here tonight. You want to say, Bishop, I want to make use of the salvation Jesus has given to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You are here tonight. You say, Bishop, it's me. I want to have an address, a phone number, a place in heaven so that when I die, that is where I will go. You are here like that. That's the choice you want to make tonight. I want to ask you to just lift up your right hand so I can pray with you. Bishop, pray for me. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see all those hands. You want to make a decision tonight. Our days are numbered. It could be tomorrow. It could be tomorrow. There are some people who there was nothing wrong with them. They were not sick. There was nothing. They just went to sleep and that was it. If it happens to you tonight, don't joke with this time. Don't joke with this decision. This is your time. This is your season. This is your hour. The Bible says, when you hear his word, do not harden your heart, for it is your time and your day of salvation. Bishop, pray for me. I want Jesus. I want to go to heaven when I die. My right hand is up. Just lift up your right hand if you are like that. I want to pray with you. God bless you. I see all those hands. God bless you. If you lifted up that hand, I want to ask you to please come. Come to the front so I can pray for you. Come. Come, my daughter. Come, come, clap for them as they come. Clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them as they come. God bless you. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Clap for them. Come to Jesus. Clap for them. God bless you. God bless you. Clap for them. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, clap for them. Clap for them. Oh, give them your life today. God bless you. Give your life to Jesus. 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 Teach me to number my days. So I will. God bless you. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Close your eyes, lift up your two hands. Because the things of the kingdom of God are very simple. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart, lift up your two hands if you're here in front. Lift up your two hands. Lifting up your two hands means it's a sign of surrender. You want to surrender your life to Jesus. The Bible says, if you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. So that's what we are going to do. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe that Jesus died for you, believe that he died on a cross to save you from your sins, then the next step is to confess him as Lord. And the Bible says that you shall be saved. So those in front, I want you to pray this prayer after me. It's the confession you're making. I want the church to join in as we pray together. God bless you. I see one other sister coming. Wanted to come before. Wow, God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Two hands. So pray this prayer after me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe there is no one else like Jesus. I believe there is one God. And I believe there is one mediator between God and man. And the mediator is Jesus Christ. I confess Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And I open my heart. I invite Jesus to come into my heart, to come into my life, to take control of my life. I submit myself to Jesus from this day forward. And I believe I am born again. I believe by this prayer, I believe by this confession,
My sins have been forgiven. I am no longer going to hell. I am born again. My name is written in the book of life. And I am now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. I promise to serve you. I promise to follow you. I promise to walk with you, Jesus, for the rest of my days. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for everyone who came forward. I commit them to you. Let this evening be the beginning of a greater walk with you. May they walk in the supernatural. May they experience the supernatural. May they experience God for themselves. May they come to the realization that it's not just going to church and coming home, but there is a God and I know God and I'm living for God. Let your mighty hand rest upon each of them. May they not die before their time. May the works of the devil concern their lives from today be nullified, be neutralized, and be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Let every yoke be dissolved by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, saving their souls. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760. Or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.